Yates, Sarah Spain, Frank Isola, Jackie McMullen. The NBA scheduled slow roll. We get a bit of it today, we get a bit of it tomorrow, next week. And in an incredible development, everybody plays everybody this year. And Frank Isola has the Knicks going 82-0. Who knew?
At least. Let's go. There's another game, 83. That's right. And preseason.
All in Kemba Walker, man. Lighting.
NBA scheduled right. The opening night. The Milwaukee Bucks, the champs, take it on the Brooklyn Nets and Lakers Warriors. And then the Christmas Day lineup. Hawks at Knicks, with Knicks undefeated being put to the test in the house that Trey remodeled. Frank Isola. And the one you can bet your life on, Lakers and Nets Christmas Day. All right, so we get all that out of the way. Let's talk some contractual news today from the NBA. Sixers and Joel Embiid nearing the Supermax, four-year, $196 million. And up to the moment we're hearing, it is now done. Frank Isola, what does it do for Embiid? What does it do for Philly? And do you see a title within reach for Philadelphia with this move?
Yeah, I would have been shocked had they given that contract to Ben Simmons. Obviously, Embiid is their future. He's one of the top players in the league. But we know the deal with Joel Embiid. Can he stay healthy? He missed the first 2 years of his career. He's never played in more than 64 games. Give him a lot of credit. He had a partially torn meniscus, and he played in the playoffs against Atlanta. But injuries have been an issue, and he's never been out of the second round. And to answer your last question, the team right now, to me, not good enough to win four playoff rounds to win a championship. No.
To build your team around the center in today's NBA. Jackie Mack, I'll bring you in here thinking that.
Absolutely. There hasn't been an MVP at center, unless you count Jokic, which I don't, because I don't really think he's a center, since 2000. I don't. I think he's a power forward that shoots the lights out. But Shaq was the last true center from 2000. But this is why I would pay Embiid all the money and then some. Never mind the magnetic personality. I've spent a lot of time around Joel. This guy wants to win. He's not going to stop till he wins. He changed his diet. He hired a nutritionist. He changed the way he trained. By the way, also represented himself in these negotiations. Fired CAA, did this on his own. He's got laser vision in terms of what he wants to accomplish. Think about him as I think he's got all the tools to maybe be the greatest big man ever. He's got size, strength. He can shoot. He can defend.
Hold on a second. Say that again. All the tools to be the greatest big man ever?
Has a chance to be one of the great. Because can you name another big man that can shoot threes like him?
Yeah.
I can't think of one. Can you?
Lipton Yates, I'll bring you in here.
I love everything the way that has come together in this. 3 years ago, if you had said that Joel Embiid would have turned things around and as a new father been the leader of the Sixers in order to make this team a contender in the East, people would have said you're crazy. They were questioning his judgment. They were questioning what his commitment to the game was. And now he's clearly turned that around. The guy could have been first team All-NBA last season. So to give him the money, I don't think there's any questions asked on what that was going to happen there. And I think if you're going to look at a team like, I don't know, the Milwaukee Bucks, who just came home with the title, you can see you get somebody who's good enough, you can find a way to build around them, and in a couple seasons down the line, you have a chance at a title. That's what the Sixers are looking at right now, and if we trusted the process, I guess we could say the process has gotten to a point that we can like.
And Sarah Spain.
Yeah, he is the process, right? You're clear that he's going to be the guy you keep around and you build around. There's bigger questions about whether it can happen with Ben Simmons. I'm of the opinion that you move on, you turn Ben Simmons into other pieces that you could put around Embiid, and I do see a title in the future. I actually thought this year they had a really good shot at it. Things didn't go the way that they had hoped, but there's never any question about what Joel Embiid can do, especially as Jackie pointed out, with all the dedication to his body and his health in the offseason. The question is, how often can he do it because of those injuries? This contract doesn't have the protections for the team that the last one did. So they clearly believe that he has evolved into the kind of guy you don't have to worry about in that way anymore. Let's hope that's the case, because I do think if they put the right players around him, they absolutely can be a title.
I want to bring everybody back in on what Jackie said about possibly, I know you're talking about talent and the ability to shoot the three. Best big man, Frank? Best big man ever?
No, well, the game, to Jackie's point, the game has changed where centers shoot three-pointers, so he's never going to be as good as Kareem. That's just not going to happen. And you can build a team around a center. Let's remember, DeAndre Ayton, I understand he was the third best player on Phoenix, but he was pretty good. And when Giannis played center in the NBA Finals, he was absolutely unstoppable. So the idea that the big man, and sorry, Jackie, Jokic is a center, and he won MVP at that position.
Jackie, last word.
No, you're right about that. But I will say this. Can we marinate for the moment in the idea that Daryl Morey, who turned the NBA on its head by encouraging every Houston Rocket player, including the trainer and everybody else, to shoot threes, has now put an extension and said, we're going to use a big man on the post. And that's why I love Daryl, because he will adapt to the talent he has.
That may be the best point. The point about the best big man ever with Kareem out there, Jackie.
I said could be. Could
gotta
be.
Play.
That talks about
games.
A limitless future
Russell,
that we know nothing
Shaq,
about. Anthony Joseph Reality. We don't know what Joel Embiid's future holds. Come on now. Why do you have another jacket on in the middle of summer, by the way? I got this.
You got me there. But at this time in his career, how many championships did Bill Russell have, and how many championships did Joel Embiid have? That's the point. Well, we're going to move on. Let's go to Chicago. Hold on to your chains, Sarah Spain. I love your looks today. I was going to say RBG collar like you sometimes go with, but no, those are just, you got the chain. Matt Nagy saying Justin Fields will get more time with starters ahead of the Bears' second preseason game. Nagy also says Andy Dalton still projected to be the starter for week one. Couple signs coming at us. Sarah Spain, what are you reading?
You said hold on to your chains. I think it was Samuel Jackson who said hold on to your butts. That's what's happening in Chicago. We are needing to calm ourselves down after what we heard out of not just the preseason game, but inside the Bears about his play against Miami when they had the joint practices. They are convinced we've got a QB, but we want him for a long time is what they're thinking. And I think that that's what's dominating what they're saying about Andy Dalton and what the choices that they're going to make, which is no matter what, unless it's an injury, Andy Dalton is starting week one. And they want to get him through the first couple of weeks to make sure that they've got solidity on that offensive line that's had a lot of question marks throughout camp. And they also understand what a difficult market it is in to be a quarterback. The Bears haven't had a 4,000-yard in a season quarterback ever in the 16-game era of the NFL. Andy Dalton's done that twice. And while you may quibble about the way he's looked in the last couple years, he has 100-plus starts in this league, and Justin has zero. They want to make sure when they put him in there, he can be great, because he's going to get knocked down by a fan base and a media just looking to pounce if he doesn't look great early on. And they want this guy to be ready to go for a decade-plus to come. That's, I think, where the patience is coming from.
You know, you said in the 16-game era. That era is over.
They never had
a 4,000-yard.
Never happened.
Clint Yates.
Yeah, but I don't know that this is the way to make sure you get pressure off of him. If you're trying to save him, what's the point of saving him for just two or three games if there's just another guy that's waiting in the wings ready to get replaced? I think the strategy is very difficult. This is not like a Pat Mahomes situation where you sat him for an entire year and he got four sort of starts at the end of the season when it didn't really matter. If he's going to be playing in the cutoff, from whether or not he's coming in is three or four games, well, you know, at that point, what's Andy Dalton doing? He's just sort of sitting there waiting for some guy to come and take his job. It's an awkward situation. I think they might have added a little bit more pressure than they think by speeding up the timeline, but then saying, oh no, actually we're not going to do it. Very bizarre.
Jackie.
I think it all depends on what Justin Fields has done on the field, Clinton, and what he's done is made everybody realize maybe I am ready now. What I want to know is, why did the Chicago Bears ever promise Andy Dalton he would be the starter? Now, I know they hadn't traded for Justin Field at that time when they signed him, but why would any franchise ever make that kind of declaration to a guy that has changed teams? And he's been a very good quarterback throughout his career, but I don't know why you make those kind of promises. Now, I do think Andy Dalton will start week one, maybe two, three, four. Who knows? We all know Justin Fields is the future. So anytime he looks good and anytime he looks ready to go, if you think he's your best chance to win, play him.
Right, guy, solo.
It's very simple.
Yeah. Jack, you're so right, though, about the idea of promising him a job. It's Andy Dalton. But by the same token, Andy Dalton should be saying, I'm Andy Dalton. Why are you promising me a starting job? But Sarah, listen, she's the voice of reason on this one, believe it or not.
Okay.
You know, the
just
season is so long. His career... it's clearly his job. You know, you want to look at Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Clinton mentioned Patrick Mahomes. There have been great, great all-time legendary quarterbacks who didn't start right away. Let's just be patient. Let him work his way into the job. It's his job. Does it really matter week one, week six, week eight? I don't think
that's where it's been.
And that's the only reason I would say, to Clinton's point, it does matter that couple of games for a number of reasons. We're going to focus on the second half, 12 of 14, looks great, running touchdown, passing touchdown. But he also lost the ball, almost took a couple sacks, looked like a rookie QB, and that's what's happening in practice as well. Andy Dalton right now is consistently outplaying him in terms of over the course of an entire practice, and then Justin Fields does things that Andy Dalton will never physically be able to do in his lifetime. But again, those 100-plus starts, you put Andy Dalton out there, and again, that offensive line, you got to get that figured out before you throw a kid out.
I just don't think that if you don't think that he's going to be the difference between the playoffs and not the playoffs for this Bears team, week three versus week six doesn't matter at all. Let the kid watch a whole season and maybe he'll get better.
Well, that defense is playoff. I mean, this team was a playoff team. The defense is playoff ready.
We'll see.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
One more story here. Once again, a veteran quarterback and a rookie quarterback and a coach try to make a decision. But, you know, Belichick doesn't say anything. So we go to New England for Cam Newton.
I mean, y'all sit up here asking silly questions to me, and I'm looking at y'all with the same thing. So I don't know what y'all want me to say. You're like, no, you know that. You know he hasn't said that. So for you to just ask the question, you know, it is what it is.
Of course, Cam's not trying to speak for Belichick or get in Belichick's head. But, Jackie, maybe you can get in Belichick's head for us. Go ahead.
I'd be happy to do that if you'd like. I will tell you this. Bill Belichick will play whoever he thinks gives him the best chance to win. He clearly has an affinity for Cam Newton dating back to last season when he came into that team under very unusual circumstances after a long injury history. He had serious injuries and performed adequately for them. But if it turns out that Mac Jones is ready to go, and I don't think it will be week one, it might be week four, it might be week five. I don't know when it will be. If Mac Jones turns out to be the guy in practice that is the better quarterback, he will play them. You can't fool the players. The players know in practice who's moving the ball better, who's better. So if that's what Bill Belichick decides, there's no sentiment here. Bill Belichick doesn't deal in sentiment in these
games. Right, Gasola?
He just doesn't.
Yeah, so he made a promise. We did not make the playoffs last year, and I'm going to do what I always do. I'm going to try to put the best team on the field that gives me the best chance to win. No one's guaranteed anything. You're not guaranteed playing time. Maybe your salary is the only thing you're guaranteed in the NFL, and sometimes that's iffy. I think it's going to be Cam Newton, knowing that right this moment, he gives him the best chance to win.
Right.
Yeah, we're not hearing a lot about a big difference so far in this competition. And by the way, does anyone notice it's Cam and Mac? Mac and Cam, it's the same three letters. It's anyway, it's weird. But I think that Bill Belichick is really interested in giving Cam as much of a shot as he can. He likes his leadership. He likes what he brings. And he's going to give him enough chances to prove that he can hang on to the job before he thrusts Mac. And he's not in a hurry to push him in. But to Jackie's point, they believe that they can contend. And so if it's time for Mac to go in and he is outperforming, he's going to do it.
And that's why I think Cam is annoyed with this situation. He's enough of a veteran to realize, I might not have won this job yet, and if I end up getting beat out by this kid, that just is what it is in the NFL, and y'all don't have to make a controversy out of something that's not yet a controversy. It's in the team or on the field. So just playing football, it's still daggone.
Week four, Patriots, Buccaneers, Tom Brady's on the other side of the field. Jackie, do you think Belichick would play Mac Jones there just to draw the parallel? Oh, no.
No. He'd only play him if he thought he was ready.
It's hot.
No sentiment, Tony. You're not listening.
It's very hot in here,
isn't
it?
You must be hot. You're too hot.
Kareem, Kyle Russell. Come on, Hakeem Olajuwon, Shaq. And you got Joel Embiid ahead all of them, Jackie. Let's go.
All I said could be, baby. Could be.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Naomi Osaka's return to the tour, Western and Southern Open in Cincinnati. after her return to tennis at the Olympics and after her time away from the game to work on her mental health and how her media availability post-matches affects her. And immediately there seemed to be tension, or at least emotion, in her press availability pre-tournament. This exchange with Cincy Inquirer reporter Paul Daugherty went on for a bit, and after, Osaka's agent accused the reporter of bullying and intimidation. I'd like to get your view on it. Take a listen.
You're not crazy about dealing with us, especially in this format. Yet you have a lot of outside interests that are served by having a media platform. I guess my question is, how do you balance the two? And also, do you have anything you'd like to share with us about what you did say to Simone Biles?
When you say I'm not crazy about dealing with you guys, what does that refer to?
Well, you've said you don't especially like the press conference format.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that seems to be obviously the most widely used means of communicating to the media and through the media to the public.
I'm not really sure how to balance the two. Like, I'm figuring it out at the same time as you are, I would say.
That Naomi Osaka response, that line of questioning, the claim that Osaka was bullied. Sarah, how do you view it all?
Well, there's a lot more to that clip. That was a follow-up to the first question he asked her. Then she wanted clarification because she was offered the chance to move on. But she said, I'm really interested in this perspective. And so I think it started off okay. And she got emotional in part because there's a lot of context around this. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. And the fact that she has received tremendous harassment for her involvement in social activism or being on magazine covers or sponsorships and endorsements, people try to make it seem like if she's going to select to be involved with those, she also has to handle the slings and arrows of the pressers, as they've always been done. And I think that might be the point of his question, which is a fine one. It just needed maybe a little more specificity so it didn't feel like it was leaning in to those previous harassments and criticisms, and instead wanted to understand how she was best balancing her desire to be a part of those things and speak on behalf of so many different things, her background, causes. She's donating all of her prize money to Haiti relief. So I don't think it was bullying, and I actually think it probably negatively affects her to criticize him as such when it wasn't the case.
Okay, so flat out, that was not bullying to you. Clinton Yates, can I bring you in here?
Yeah, I mean, it might be a fair question, but at this stage, I don't know how necessary it is. Again, the point is that she makes a lot of money off the court for what she does on the tennis court. I don't know that that means that she needs to be answering questions about everything off the court every time she comes to the court. And if for no other reason than who she is and what she provides to the sport. She's Naomi Osaka. Obviously, she does not enjoy these proceedings. And when people get close to kind of pressing it, I can understand why people react. Now, I don't personally think it was bullying, but I do think it was unnecessary in terms of what we're doing over here. The issue people have with her is that she seems to be able to make money and do whatever she wants outside of the necessity of the tennis press, or really even people that ask her anything about tennis. Therefore, to me, that should be good enough for us, man. Watch her play tennis.
But do you think that question was, you don't think that question was necessary or in bounds? Her first tournament
back. I don't think it was out of bounds. I don't think it was out of bounds. I just think that when you see somebody reacting that way, we're still human beings here. You know, you can figure out what's going on, and if that's the level of reaction you get, then maybe you've gone down the wrong road. And that goes for anybody, not just Doc and I.
Frank Isola, to hear the agent call it bullying and intimidation, how do you hear that?
Well, I understand the agent works for the tennis player, so he's going to say that. I didn't think it was out of line at all. To your point, Tony, it was her first tournament, first press conference setting since what happened at the French Open. He's giving her a chance to address it. I thought it was asked in a respectful manner. Excuse me that not everyone is asking a softball question to her, and we don't need other reporters there now to explain. I guess he was tennis-splaining or mansplaining. The guy from the New York Times is trying to tell us what Paul was trying to do with the question. I thought that was fair, and I thought the agent, I get it. The agent works for the player. The media, however, does not work for the agent.
Okay, so just to unpack what you're saying here, softball questions from you believe?
I'm saying,
go ahead.
Listen, we're all at these press conferences. For the most part, it's nothing that over the top. It's something that I think a lot of people are saying, hey, how come you don't want to do this, but you do other stuff? I don't think it's a crazy thing. And to Naomi's credit, she answered the question. I thought she did a fine job answering.
Okay, and let's just put the finest point on this. Naomi, in talking about post-match press conferences, she's talking about having to dredge up all her feelings and all her failings on the court. That's not what this was. This is a pre-tournament interview. Jackie McMullen now.
Yeah, so my takeaway really has nothing to do with the agent or the reporter. My takeaway has to do with Naomi Osaka. And when I watch her and I see that emotion, I get worried for her, Tony. I get concerned for someone who has been talking about stepping away to improve her mental health, which I support 100%. It's a courageous thing to do when the whole world is watching and dissecting and, to Sarah's point, criticizing you. So my initial response to all this was, take care of yourself. Don't worry about the questions. Don't worry about tennis right now. Do what you need to do.
Do you feel this was bullying by a reporter here?
I would recommend everybody to read Mr. Dockery's column, which was very, very thoughtful in a way that Naomi's answers to him were also thoughtful. If there was any bullying being done, it was being done by the agent towards that reporter.
We'll have that be the last word. That is a good point, Jeff. Thank you very much for today. Clinton Yates, thanks for today as well. Frank Isola, Sarah Spain, showdown, 2 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Only time for one showdown, and it's the Jaguars releasing Tim Tebow. Sarah Spain, your number one takeaway from the Tebow tight end experiment.
That it's okay to follow your dreams so that you have no regrets and never wonder if you could have made it. It's just maybe there are some people around you that should end those dreams a little earlier if they can tell you're not going to make it.
Frank?
Well, this is a coach, Urban Meyer. He probably knew it was doomed to fail, but this guy, they've done a lot for each other's careers. You gave him a chance. I like the fact that they cut their losses early. They didn't let it go on for a long time. Nothing wrong with that. Good job by both sides.
Sarah, should you win? Three words or fewer. What's your FaceTime?
Cubs, afraid bad.
And Frank Isola?
Popovich.
I don't think you need to be afraid the Cubs are bad, Sarah. I think we've already learned that. Go ahead, Frank Isola.
We all love covering the one and only Greg Popovich. There's a video of him that's circulating. He addressed the team after they won the gold medal, and he talked about the pundits that questioned the team roster makeup and whether or not we'd win. Well, first of all, one of those players, Kevin Love, left the team, and Jerry Colangelo, your boss, criticized him. And oh, by the way, you finished seventh at the World Cup 2 years ago. Then you lost your first two exhibition games. So it was fair for everyone to criticize you. I like Greg Popovich, but the coverage of you does not have to be favorable 100% of the time. 99 is not bad. And by the way, I wanted the U.S. to win. I was happy we won.
Stop. I love it when Frank gets worked up. An ice storm, as we used to call it.
Frank, he's all fired up.
We'll see you guys tomorrow. Happy birthday, Sarah.